Hey, what's going on, guys? David Aston for whyamiunhealthy.com, and I'm here with Jared Enderton today. Jared is an Olympic weightlifter, and he's got all sorts of certifications, kettlebell, he's an ACE fitness nutrition specialist. What other certifications and stuff do you got, Jared? You want to give us a little bit of background about who you are and what you do?
Yeah, so I've acquired quite a few over the years. First and most importantly, I got my bachelor's degree in exercise science, which obviously is going to be more important than any certification.
Absolutely.
And then I have my USA Weightlifting Level 1 / Sports Performance, and then I have CrossFit Level 1, which is really good because I do a lot of weightlifting seminars across the country, so teaching the snatch and the clean and jerk, so I can at least relate to a lot of the CrossFitters. And then, yeah, the ACE Fitness Nutrition Specialist, and then IKFF, the kettlebell one.
Very cool, man. And so tell me about the events that you're training for right now. I know you got some big stuff coming up.
Yeah, I got some really big events coming up. I'm just 4.5 months post-hip surgery. So right now, the training's back picking up again for Olympic weightlifting, which is a snatch and the clean and jerk. So in 11 weeks, I have the Arnold Classic, which is a national meet, one of three national meets a year that you can qualify for international meets like Pan Am Games and World Championships. So I'm really, really focused right now, dialed in on my training, just trying to make a comeback and, you know, prove a lot of people wrong in terms of my training.
Absolutely. And you said you're competing for the clean and jerk?
Yeah, for the snatch and the clean and jerk.
For the snatch and the clean and jerk. Okay. And you said, and how many months has it been since the surgery?
It's been 4.5 months.
Four and a half months.
They told me it'd be like 5 or 6 months before I even did a full squat, and then 8 to 12 months before 100% recovery. But at the four-month mark, I had snatched, well, now I've snatched 319, and I've clean and jerked 375, both requiring a full squat, and I've back squatted over 500 pounds, so I'm being pretty ambitious with the rehab, so to speak.
Absolutely, man. So how did you even get back into it? You get surgery, and when do you decide, hey, all right, I'm going to pick up a weight and start rehabbing this?
Yeah, I mean, I've said it before, but like the first 2 or 3 months, there was really nothing inspirational about my recovery and my rehab. I was pretty depressed because I spent 6 months training for nationals in July, and then 10 days out, basically just shredded my hip. So it was just like the first 2 or 3 months were just spent like, man, I'm 25. I just had hip surgery. Is it worth it? Just like all these things going through my head where I really didn't pick up a weight at all, like not even upper body. So it was only really like 1 month ago that I decided, look, got to pick yourself back up, get back out there and give it another shot. You can't go down, you know, off an injury. So
there's no quit, man. I noticed you're already putting up massive numbers again. You obviously didn't lose too much strength, huh?
No, I didn't. That's the really good thing is the mind is so powerful because during that time, even though, like I said, I was really kind of doubting what I was doing and I didn't know whether to come back, and it was just like a long recovery process because I couldn't even walk for almost 2 months, or I wasn't supposed to. So it was like I thought I'd come back so weak, but within a few weeks, because I spent so much mental preparation like on technique, and I was watching so many videos of myself previously finding out what all my weaknesses were at different positions of the lift and flexibility wise, that I really just kind of developed a strategy in my mind on how to become a better lifter technically and flexibility wise that now that I've come back, I mean, I've progressed faster in the last month than I ever have probably in my entire life because I really put my mind into my training.
That's awesome, man. It almost sounds like a blessing in disguise.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I really think it'll be the greatest thing that's happened for my career, and I'm really looking forward to show that at the Arnold.
Yeah, that's really cool, man. I'm looking forward to seeing you out there. When you were going back through the videos and looking at your previous lifts and stuff, did you notice any tendencies that you had that perhaps led up to the hip injury?
Yeah, that's a phenomenal question. So I think it was a long-term – it was an acute injury, but I think it was also chronic in the sense that I wrestled for, I don't know, 15, 20 years, and my right leg was always my lead leg, my front leg when I wrestled, meaning my left leg was always stretched and externally rotated for support, and then I would always, you know, contract off that stretched and externally rotated leg. So, and that's also how I caught my split jerks, was with that back leg like that. So I think over time, just having it constantly be torqued and stretched and externally rotated really caused a lot of damage on it, because now when I watch old squat videos or clean videos, naturally my left leg, even 2 years ago when I was completely healthy, would sit back 2 whole inches behind my right leg.
Wow. So is there a way to prevent that? Like, could you, you know, start switching back and forth between legs, or is there a better technique altogether?
Yeah, right now I'm going to the power jerk, which is basically where you don't split your feet. You just kind of move your feet out a little bit on the jerk, which has been going really well. I haven't really missed many power jerks since coming back, and I think eventually I may go back to the split jerk, but I really have to pay attention when I'm squatting and stuff about my symmetry. Otherwise, I mean, I think I'm just going to re-injure that hip or maybe even, you know, injure the other one. So I'm really all about trying to just be completely symmetric and even and make sure I'm focusing on the little things in training now as well.
And with that being said, you know, post-surgery, I know you're a powerlifter and a lot of guys aren't really into the cardio. The last time I talked to you, you surprised me and said you were doing a lot of cardio. Have you picked that back up and are you doing any stretching now to prevent more hip injuries?
Yeah, so it's pretty funny. Last weekend, I actually did a CrossFit competition.
Nice. How'd that go?
Yeah, it went well. I mean, it was like a 10-team event, so there was 10 on the team. So you can cherry-pick the workouts each person does, which was awesome. They had like an Isabel workout, a Team Isabel workout with me and another girl, which is just 60 snatches between the two of you. My weight was 135 pounds, you know, and I've snatched 345, so that was really easy, and it was a fun event. I mean, the cardio was hard, but the weight was easy. And then the next day was they actually had an event that was max snatch, max clean and jerk, which, I mean, obviously I won because it was at a CrossFit competition. And then later they did a complex where it was like the bear complex, where you do a clean, a jerk, two back squats, and then a behind the neck jerk. And then you have to repeat that whole process twice, and I ended up doing 330 pounds with that. So I was able to pretty much still cherry pick all the heavy events that I could do. So it was kind of a good opening. But yeah, I'm still doing, I've been throwing into that like 10, 15 minute WODs or workout of the day, CrossFit workouts after my lifting right now. So I've still been kind of keeping up with that as well. And I'm stretching. I'm stretching every single day, usually twice a day for at least a half hour, like total body. So
do you stretch post or pre-workout?
I do all dynamic pre-workout, dynamic type stretches, you know, just through your regular kind of gauntlet of dynamic stretches, and then sport specific stretches, of course, with the barbell work and stuff. And then post-workout, it's all static, a lot of SMR, you know, foam roller stuff. I've been throwing in like crossover symmetry, which is basically a shoulder rehab stuff, because I have a torn labrum in my left shoulder as well. I found out a few weeks ago, but I just got a few cortisone shots and I'm going to try to power through that. So.
You're a beast.
I'm trying. We just got to hope the cortisone holds up.
I heard that. Tell me more about the WODs though after your workouts. I know you train two or three times a day. Are you hitting those after every single workout?
Yeah, so right now my training's actually changed quite a bit, because with my hip, I can't really do a ton of snatches and clean and jerks because they're so violent, meaning like you hit the bottom of a squat so hard that my hip really gets inflamed.
Right.
So what I've been really focusing on is a lot of strength movements, like, you know, the front squat, back squat, and deadlift are really the main three I've been focusing on. So right now I'm actually only training one big heavy session a day. And in the morning, I'm usually doing like an hour, hour and a half of light work. So usually only after the last session of the day, I'm doing my cardio. You know, I always believe in strength and conditioning. So I always think strength work has to be first. It's my number one goal. And then at the end, kind of as a little burnout finisher type thing, I'll just do, get my heart rate up and do some rowing or Fran or, you know, any one of the CrossFit workouts you can think of.
That's awesome, man. That's real good stuff. You said you're, I mean, obviously I know you do supplements. What supplements have helped you the most with your training, your preparation, and competitions?
Yeah, so that's one of the cool things. I have two supplement sponsors, HMB, which is a product that helps with protein synthesis, and I've taken that for years. I absolutely love that for recovery, basically. And Top Secret Nutrition is my other sponsor, and I take two of their products absolutely religiously. Number one, it's Pump Igniter. It's a pre-workout. I'll take about a half a scoop before I work out and then half a scoop mid-workout so I don't crash. Then it only ends up coming out to like 300 milligrams total throughout, you know, 3 hours. So it's nothing crazy in terms of caffeine. And then their protein, 100% whey protein. I mean, those are really the three main staples I don't train without. Pump Igniter, protein, and then the HMB. And then, of course, Top Secret also has a creatine that I take every single day, so I should mention that as well.
How much water are you taking with all these supplements throughout your day?
Yeah, I'm always drinking water, so no matter what, I always have a water bottle by me. I don't ever count water. I just think it gets annoying,
right.
Or like measure it, I should say. But, I mean, I basically make sure I'm never peeing like a tin of yellow.
Perfect, man. I mean, that's the same method I've used for a long time, and it works.
Yeah.
They say, you know, that if you're having a thirst sensation, you're already at least 2% dehydrated, which means your mental processing's already been slowed down, and basically don't get thirsty.
Yep. Yeah, that's something I've heard a lot too. I've heard even as high as like 3 to 4%, but I'm sure it's at least 2 the second you feel thirsty. Yeah, so I just always make sure I have something by me, and I always have a water bottle, so no matter where I am, even if it's like at a going shopping or something. I can go over by the bathroom section to their water fountain and fill up.
Heard that, man, for sure. Tell me more about this this Arnold Classic. You said it's a qualifier for the Pan Am Games, which is international meet, right?
Yeah, it is. And at the senior level, I've never made an international team yet, so I've always got injured or I've had some kind of excuse, you know, prior to a big meet to where I've never actually been able to put my best training numbers in a competition. 2011, I qualified for the World University Games in China, and then I had to withdraw because I snapped a ligament in my wrist, so that was pretty devastating. But these are much bigger international competitions. They only send 8 men from the U.S. to the Pan Am Games. So you have to be either number one or number two in your weight class. So, I mean, I'm 11 weeks out, which I think is a perfect amount of time. I need it every single week to be able to prepare to get stronger and to get my lifts sharper. So I'm just really looking forward to going out and challenging myself and seeing if I can't take down the top guy.
That's awesome, man. So how do you prepare for competition, and how long out do you typically start?
Yeah, usually I run normally 12-week training cycles. That's kind of my main thing, where obviously this will be like a 16-week prep cycle, but this whole first month, this last month, has been prepping, so I'm in shape enough to be able to run this 12-week training cycle fine. So really the first 6 weeks of this training cycle are going to be tons of strength work. And then as I get 5 weeks out, 4 or 5 weeks out, I'll start introducing a lot more of the lifts again. And by the lifts, I mean like the snatch and the clean and jerk and different variations of them. But until then, until I'm 100% confident in my hip, taking that kind of volume during that amount of time, I'm just going to really focus on getting my legs and my back just as strong as I can.
How do you go about that? Are you doing real high reps, lower weights until you start hitting your main lifts again, or what's the process for building up that strength for the first 6 weeks?
Yeah, right now it's all volume. It's all about volume. Just getting that muscle quality back, really. So I'm sticking really in the ranges of like 3 to 6.
Okay.
Like right now I'm on the Smolov Junior front squat cycle, which is Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. So on Monday you do like 6 sets of 6, Wednesday is 7 sets of 5, Friday is 8 sets of 4, and Saturday is 10 sets of 3. So really my biggest weakness has always been my rack position in the clean. When I catch the bar, it's always been a flexibility issue and kind of an upper back or mid back strength issue. So okay, I'm like, wow, I got to really kick off this training cycle. It's a 3-week front squat program with just loads and loads and loads of positioning work with the front squat. And then I'm also on the Cone Phillippe deadlift routine right now, which I've used numerous times and always had great success with it, which is just a once a week deadlift, speed deadlift program.
So what is that? You go for 10 minutes and you just hit as many reps as you can do?
In terms of the deadlift?
Yeah, in terms of the deadlift, the speed deadlift program.
No, so what it is you always work up to a percentage for like a double or a triple.
Okay.
And it's progressive each week. It starts lower and it goes higher each week. And then you drop down after that. You do 8 triples, speed deadlifts, which I use them usually like as clean pulls, to where I'll add a really aggressive shrug at the top and a hip extension as well, as opposed to just a regular deadlift, because it'll have more carryover to my sport. And then you do those 8 triples at, you know, a lower percentage, but you really work on speed because, you know, force equals mass times acceleration. So you do that with only 90-second rest between sets.
That's awesome, man. That sounds intense.
Yeah, it is. It's really going well. The last couple of weeks have been right on point, really starting to challenge me at the end of this week, which is exactly what I need.
Very cool. So would you say that the best way to improve your one rep max is with the volume training?
Yeah, I mean, you have to build a base. I mean, maxing out is good, and it's fun, and it's all dandy, but I mean, you really got to build that base and give your body a reason to PR. You know, you got to be able to have your body handle big loads, maybe, you know, have a little bit of hypertrophy going on. And for me, get my muscle quality back on my left side. So, I mean, I really think you got to build that base early in the training cycle. And then as the training cycle goes down, you get into lower and lower reps, higher weight, and up the intensity and lower the volume.
That's absolutely, man. Absolutely. That being said, how important is the nutrition?
Oh, yeah, very important. I've actually, it's kind of funny. Right now I'm going through something that's going to be pretty interesting to try out. But my girlfriend, I just started dating. She's incredibly jacked, but anyway, she's got me convinced to do carb backloading.
And what is that?
Yeah, so basically it's all about controlling your insulin sensitivity or your sensitivity to carbs. So the first 10 days right now, 4 days into it, you do no carbs at all to really kind of reset your body. So then after those 10 days, when it does come up, you respond really strongly to carbs, and it's all about the carbohydrate timing. And then after that, really what it is, you can only take in carbs after your workout, or just a little bit before your workout, after your workout, like your main workout of the day, and then after 6 p.m., which is opposite really of what you hear really in any kind of general nutrition topics.
And how are you feeling so far with this?
So far, so good. I mean, I've went through periods where I've been lower carb and stuff like that when I'm trying to, you know, go for a show. But I've read a lot of high-level athletes have actually tried it, because you're not at carb backloading. The first 10 days, it's low carb. But after that, you're actually eating a lot of carbs, and you're really just like shoving in quite a few carbs, because every athlete, is my belief, should be eating carbohydrates. I mean, it's your primary energy source. So the first 10 days is kind of do a reset. And then after that, it's all about the timing of your carbs right after your workout, you know, and after at night. So it's kind of interesting. I'm very intrigued by it, and we'll see how my body composition changes as I get further into it.
Yeah, that sounds real interesting, because I'd be curious to know, you know, you're not going to have carbs for a full 10 days. You don't think you're going to build up any type of insulin resistance or have any issues breaking down the carbohydrates once you do pick them back up?
I hope not. Yeah, I hope not.
How long has your girl been doing this?
She's doing it, I mean, she is like incredibly lean, but very, very strong, and she CrossFits. And she's done it periodically over the last probably year. She goes through times where she usually doesn't even need to do it anymore because she's so lean and so, you know, muscular as well. But she's just kind of doing it with me now to, you know, to kind of help me out or to show me the way type of a thing. So it's funny because usually I take over all my own nutrition. I'm really keen on nutrition. I try different things, but I'm willing to give this a shot because really a lot of times at the end of my workouts, I get pretty zapped. So I'm just like, well, let's give it a shot. I know it'll decrease my body composition big time just off of all the research I've done. So worst case scenario is it doesn't work, but I lean out a ton. So that's kind of the worst case scenario that I see.
It doesn't seem like such a bad worst case scenario, huh?
No, it doesn't.
So, I mean, you're dealing with this injury and you're getting back into the competitions. What have you picked up that's given you the extra boost to trying to really catch back up to where you were?
Yeah, like, I mean, the biggest thing is really that I'm using my mind in training, both in preparation and then also when I train. I used to really take a lot of the training for granted, to where I'd show up to the gym, you know, within a minute or 30 seconds, I'm putting my shoes on and I put the bar in my hand and then I'm ready to go. And then between sets, I'm changing music or I'm walking around, I'm talking to people. My mind just wasn't fully engulfed in, you know, in lifting. And I was working hard, but wasn't really thinking about what I was doing, my technique, my programming, all these little details. So now I'm just trying to dial in on every aspect that I can, the nutrition, you know, the training program before the day, you know, for the weeks leading up. What accessory work I need, the flexibility, you know, I'm doing prehab really, even rehab stuff for my shoulder and still doing it for my hip. And then during training, I mean, I don't really have any music or, you know, I have some music, but I'm not worried about it. I'm not changing it. I'm not really talking to people. I'm just really trying to focus on the task at hand, which is the most important thing. And the most important thing is just only the next lift that you're going
to
do.
Keep leading by example. We need to see more of that in the gyms. I'm seeing way too many cell phones and people hanging out on the bench presses watching TV. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, it is. The dynamics really changed. I mean, you really wish you could have like a rocky atmosphere in every gym you go to, but I mean, they're one in a million anymore.
Wild, man. It seems like in the last maybe 5, 6, 7 years, it's always kind of been like that to an extent, but in the last few years, it's gotten bad.
Not yeah, a whole lot I think of... the culprit for that big time is social media too.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like anywhere you go, people are checking their Facebook, their Instagram, their Twitter, their Snapchat. It's just like, man, I mean, they just can't get off it, really.
You know, that's a good point. It's funny. You see them, you know, they're always putting the pictures of the gym. It's like, okay, it's the same thing as the sunset. You take the picture of the sunset with your phone, you put it on Instagram, but you didn't actually savor or appreciate it yourself. Kind of the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I always say. I'm like, well, as long as you took a picture of the gym, you don't even have to work out. I mean, I think a lot of people just like to look like they worked out or like the idea of working out. But yeah, exactly like you said, I don't think they sometimes take the time to actually appreciate it themselves.
Yeah, that's a trip to me, man. Oh, I guess we just got to let our own light shine, huh?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm always just kind of worried about myself anyway. So if they're on their phone, that's their choice. I mean, I try to really be in my own world anymore when I train.
For sure. I mean, you're not going to catch me without headphones anymore.
Yep.
Yeah. When you're training for strength, though, man, you maybe not so much, but I know most of the guys, the power lifters and the Olympic lifters, it seems like they're on a constant bulk phase. What's your take on that? Do you feel like you need to be on a constant bulk phase to gain strength?
Well, absolutely not. I really don't. I mean, you can gain a lot of strength staying your exact same body weight. You can make a lot of neuromuscular, you know, adaptations and changes. Really, with smart training, because, you know, there's been guys in the Olympics at the same weight class for 2 or 3 years, and even Olympic gold medalists who will go on in every single quad, you know, they'll increase their numbers, you know. So it's all about smart training, you know, nutrition, sleep, recovery, just really focusing on those things. And I think, especially in weightlifting, there's weight classes. So you can't just always be on a bulk phase. I mean, fat doesn't contract. So I'm really just trying to get as lean as humanly possible so I can maximize my weight class.
That's a great point, man, for sure. With the progressive overload, then, with your training, it doesn't always have to mean more mass. Like, you see a lot of these meatheads in the gym. It's like, all right, man, let's go. I got to eat 8,000 calories a day. All right, I need another snack. I need another meal. More or less, if you're training smart, the central nervous system plays a huge part, almost just as important as the actual muscle tissue itself, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a lot of percentage work as well, more than anything. Now, as I'm doing a lot of percentage work at different weights, because you go that heavy all the time, I mean, you really get zapped, and that's when you're looking for injuries. So I really just try to be sharp with, you know, some lighter weights, so to speak, now.
Absolutely, man. I noticed a video on your website, and it was a sophomore in high school squatting 405 pounds. And I trained with some athletes locally, some football players and rugby players. What can I tell some of my guys who are, you know, looking to put over a 400-pound squat?
Yeah, so that kid, he's really, really motivated. And probably a year and a half ago, I started working with him. He had never really lifted before. And then within a year, essentially, he squatted 405. And then he did 415, too, but he didn't go as low, so I didn't post it. So I told him, yeah, now next step is 500 before football. And he only weighs like a buck 90. So really with him, I just have him doing the main movements, you know, power clean, squats, deadlifts, bench press, shoulder press, lunges, stuff like that, step ups, Romanian deadlifts. Just really trying to build that strength base for him. But it's all about consistency. So I have him usually text me, you know, after every single workout, just to let me know how it goes, or an update, or leave me a voicemail. And it's all about consistency. You can't go in 2 days 1 week, three the next, one the next, five the next. You have to be consistent with your training in order to see the best results.
100% agree. I think consistency is the only secret, if you will.
Yeah, exactly.
What would you say your top three muscle building tips, or actually better yet, what are your top three strength building principles that you've learned in the last few years?
Boy, that's a good question. Number one, my favorite is, I believe wholeheartedly in drop sets. So I always believe, like, if you're going to work up to a 5-rep max for the day, you know, you work up to your heaviest weight you can do for 5 reps. And then I absolutely love drop sets, to where you drop maybe 10% and then you'll do like 3 sets of 5 there, focusing on speed, explosiveness, that kind of a thing. Yeah. And then number two, I would say, really just don't try to do the movements too often. If your strength is your key goal, don't be trying to, you know, max out on a back squat 3 times a week or 4 times a week. You don't have to max out in squats, benches, and deadlifts very often. It can be every 12 weeks or 16 weeks, but make sure you're putting in the work, putting in the groundwork to be able to work into that PR, like I said, by building up that volume first, and then the PR will come very easy. Whereas if you just try to PR every couple weeks or something, you're not really given a real good reason to PR at that point either.
Absolutely, man. So what would the number one tip be then?
Yeah, the number one tip, it's all about atmosphere. Get with some good training partners, get with buddies who are really going to motivate you and push you, and lift with people who are stronger than you, because that's going to be the ultimate factor in terms of getting stronger, getting better, and staying motivated and humbled, is just the fact that you can always have that atmosphere that's electric, and you can always have somebody to push you.
100% agree with you, man. When I have a great partner, the inspiration, the motivation, the lifts, the gains, the soreness the next day is just, it's out of this world.
Yep, it absolutely is.
What would you tell some of your younger athletes then, who are looking to maybe link up and network with stronger, bigger, you know, intimidating guys? How should they approach these cats?
Yeah, I mean, I really just tell them, shut up and learn. I mean, it sounds bad, but really you got to put your work in. Whatever they tell you to do, you should listen. There's a reason they're, you know, stronger than you. And of course you're going to run into some bad apples, people who are naturally strong on bad training programs. But largely try to pick somebody who is really strong in what you want to do, with your goal in mind, if you can. And from there, just really try to listen, you know, and listen to what they're saying, watch their technique, watch how they prepare, just learn as much as you can from them. And then be very respectful. I mean, you always got to make sure that you never come off as cocky to that person or anything like that. Just always show the most respect for, you know, for your elders in general anyway.
Absolutely. And you train in a little bit different of an environment than us. Obviously, you're a competitive and professional lifter. How would you feel if somebody came up to you and approached you in the gym and was asking pointers? Would you find that a nuisance? Obviously, if you're in intense training, you're probably not going to be approached, but are you open to people coming up to you and asking you pointers in the gym?
You know, that's a funny thing that the last few months has really been interesting, because ever since my hip surgery, I actually have not been training at the Olympic Training Center because I just haven't been in good enough shape, so they're not going to have somebody there, you know, who's basically coming off hip surgery and wasting a spot for 5 months, you know. So right. I've been training at a CrossFit gym, and at first I was telling people, like, oh, yeah, just come train with me when I'm training. You know, we'll lift or whatever. But the issue was, at that point, I also coach at that gym. I coach weightlifting. Was they still see me as a coach and not a training partner and an athlete. So, like, after every single lift, they're like, oh, what'd you think of that snatch? Oh, you know, how are my hips? And they're asking all these questions. Finally, to the point where now I have to pick times where I can train alone, because I can't separate the two. Coaching and being an athlete, it's too hard. I'm either coaching 100% or I'm being an athlete 100%. Otherwise, you know, if you chase two rabbits, both are going to escape. So I can't do as good a job in either one if I'm not focused 100%.
That's crazy, man. So are you literally making extra trips to the gym just to help your buddies out, just to kind of coach them out after your workouts?
Yeah, I am. And I usually plan it like that very smartly, in terms of, I know right when I work out, I know when I start and when I finish. So sometimes I'll just be like, okay, you show up at noon, I'll help you till 1, but I'm lifting out from 1 to 3 or 1 to 4, you know? So it's kind of like I'm already there type of a thing, so it's not a big deal.
For sure, man. And you're getting ready for the 2016 right now, the 2016 games, right?
Yeah, I am. Yep, I mean, there's a long way to go, a long process to get there, but that is definitely the ultimate goal right now.
And the Arnold Classic is a part of that goal, right?
It is, yeah. So, I mean, in order to qualify for the Olympics, you have to have a certain placement or be basically the top 1, 2, or 3 lifter in the United States. And you have to do that or do those lifts at an international meet. So
right.
It's 2014, the 2015 international meets are even more important, and then Olympic trials in 2016. So it's definitely going to be an amazing experience when I do make those teams, and it'll be good practice, and I can really continue to try to set PRs and get better.
It's really cool. It's totally stoked to be seeing you out there.
Man, it's gonna happen too. I mean, I'm very motivated and believing fully in my training and what I'm doing. So I'm really ready. Like I said, I'm just ready for the Arnold. That's the next meet. I'm ready to just kind of go show my work and what I've been doing in training.
That's cool, man. Are you still an instructor at the National PT Institute?
Yeah, I am.
And how's that going?
That's going really well. That's been a really fun dynamic or element that I've kind of added to my life, because it's basically a 7-month kind of school where you take people off the street, and 7 months later they're personal trainers. So you do blood pressure, resting heart rate, body composition. You show them every free weight machine exercise. You know, you show them tips and tricks and progressions, regressions, and then you also do lectures, you know, over bioenergetics and more nutrition stuff and biomechanics and kinesiology, anatomy. So it's really awesome. I get to use all my certifications and my degree to really stay sharp in the exercise science field, which helps in turn with all the seminars that I'm doing in Olympic weightlifting and wrestling, because I'm staying up and up on all the exercise science aspects of it. So both of them have really benefited from each other, all my seminars and this job I have with the Training Institute.
That's awesome, man. It just seems like a bunch of synchronicity going on.
Yeah, and the best part is I work from 5:15 to 10:15 at night at the school, so I can train all day, and then I just work for 5 hours at night.
Almost sounds like the dream for a lot of guys, man.
Oh, it is completely the dream. It is 100%. There's nothing else I'd be doing right now.
That's too cool, brother. I really, really do dig that quite a bit. With everything you got going on, I know you've learned a lot. And really, I mean, you're what, a couple months older than me? It seems like you've been doing this for ages. I know you got some really good health tips. What would you say your number one health tip would be?
That's a great question. I would say try to do some type of workout. I mean, at least 5 times a week. And I always say just keep it fresh. So I always tell people, don't go to the gym and do the same darn thing every day. That's why I think CrossFit's great for people looking to get fit and stuff like that. But I just think you have to be consistent working out and find a way to enjoy your workout. So I don't, if it's hiking or running or cycling or lifting, whatever it is, just find a way to enjoy working out. And that's probably the biggest tip. I mean, it's nothing crazy scientific or anything, but if you don't enjoy what you're doing, you're never going to stick with it.
Absolutely. I think that's a fantastic tip, man. Happiness is key to a lot of things. If you're not happy, you're not going to excel, you're not going to thrive, and basically you're just not going to enjoy life.
Yeah, exactly. You got to be happy no matter what.
So is there anything in particular that we can know about you that you got going on in the works to keep our eyes out for before we get out of here?
Yeah, one thing I've been working on, or at least kind of putting the groundwork in for, is the applications like Coach's Eye and UberSense. Have you seen those?
I've heard of UberSense. I'm not sure what Coach's Eye is.
Yeah, it's essentially like a slow motion camera you can use to kind of look at the technique of your lifts.
Really?
Yeah, but the issue, in my opinion, I've been doing all these seminars and I have just, hundreds of people sending me videos after these seminars and throughout the days and the weeks of people being like, can you look at this? It's like people have the ability to look at it in slow motion, but if you don't have the eyes for it, they still don't know if it's good technique or bad technique. So what I'm looking at creating is like an O-Lift app, an Olympic Lift app, where they can take the videos just like that, the same app, but they can submit it to a team of professional weightlifters, headed by myself. And then within, a couple hours, we're going to send you either a video message with feedback, or we'll type something out to you like, oh, you got to keep your hips lower, keep that bar closer by, keeping your hips down longer or whatever it is. So you can actually get feedback from, the country's best weightlifters within hours.
That is a badass idea, and I cannot wait to try that out.
Yeah, I'm really pumped for it. I mean, I've been talking to a lot of people and stuff, and of course, with any application, there's a lot of work to be done, but I'm really excited about the idea, especially as CrossFit continues to grow.
Absolutely. I'm really excited about that idea. I think you're going to be able to help a lot of athletes and a lot of people really step their game up and honestly improve their lives with that. That's cool, man, because even after you get out of the game, you're still going to be you're going to have a heavy influence if this takes off.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I completely agree.
That's cool, brother. Well, I appreciate your time, Jared, man. I'm going to get out of here. I know you got some training to do. Let's definitely keep in touch. And if you have any dates of upcoming events, send those over and I'll put them on the site for everybody.
Okay, sounds good. Will do, my man. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Take care, brother.
All right, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.